بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This week, as we have experienced many times before, Islam, we are seeing, is back in the headlines again. 11 years after the tragic events of 9/11, we see the vicious cycle of hate continue. The attacks of 9/11 were very difficult for people in the West, especially for Americans. And when there is an attack of that magnitude, an incident of that severity on a country, there will be a response. A response can be expected, and it's not going to be pleasant. So the US government responded first with the invasions of Afghanistan a few weeks in, and then there was the invasion of Iraq, as we know, a bit further down. Once again, the citizens of those countries then responded, and it was not pleasant. So the American government initially had a response which was not pleasant. The citizens of those countries had a response, and that was not pleasant. In the last few days, there has been much talk about a provocative film that mocked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seeing the response by some Muslims who have resorted to violence, and seeing that that is being attributed to this film, we see that that response is also not pleasant. So whenever there is an act, a provocation, we see that the response is not good either way. So first of all, it must be very clear, as we all know of course, that the violence that we are witnessing is deplorable. It is illegal, especially when we're talking about the killing of people who have absolutely nothing to do with this film. It's un-Islamic. We're seeing damage to property and people getting hurt and injured, because what we're seeing is not what the Quran teaches us. Neither does the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us that either. So the type of response we're seeing in some places, not everywhere, is a response which is not sanctioned by the Qur'an, which is not sanctioned by the Sunnah. The first thing that needs to be understood is, actually there's a few things that need to be understood about this film. First of all, this film is said to be a pretty terrible film just in terms of quality. So when it comes to cinema, photography, when it comes to, you know, writing the script and doing all of those things, in terms of quality, it's just a really bad film. And the real purpose actually of the film was even hidden from the actors. So the actors, the cast, the crew who actually took part in this film and who are the actors are actually angry, and they released a statement. So 80 cast members and crew members released a statement, all of them together, saying, and I quote, that the entire cast and crew are extremely upset and feel taken advantage of by the producer. We are 100% not behind this film, and were grossly misled about its intent and purpose. So the people who were actually playing the roles in the film did not know, according to them, did not know what the actual intended purpose of the film was. And it only became clear afterwards, when they watched it, they realized that there were parts of the film which had been dubbed over. And it is said, I haven't watched it, but it's said that in some places you could tell that the actors are saying something else, but the voice that has been recorded on top of it is saying something else. So they were told that this was a film that was going to be about people 2,000 years ago, about people of the past, and they played the roles, not really good actors either, not really professionals. They got some money for it, and they did it. Some have even said that they will sue the producer because they were misled. Then the Associated Press, the media organization that feeds news stories to many news outlets, did some very stellar reporting. And this was even reported by Fox News. So it turns out that the man who claimed to be the producer is not really who he is. So the first news stories that came out were actually not true. He told people that he was an Israeli Jew, but turns out that he is not. So now even the Jewish groups are upset at him because they were being blamed for something that they did not do. Turns out, according to the reporting of the Associated Press, that he's actually a criminal. He had committed financial fraud in the past and even spent time in jail. In fact, one of his probation conditions, he got released, he was sentenced to 5 years, 21 months in prison, and he had probation after that. One of the conditions was that he cannot use the internet for 5 years without approval of his probation officer. So that could actually become an issue for him as well. And also turns out that most of the things that he had told the reporters were all lies. So this is the person, this is the type of person who is behind this pathetic film, which actually was released last year. So it's not that it was even released recently. It was actually released last year. Someone dubbed it into Arabic, or portions of it into Arabic, and posted it on YouTube, and then an Egyptian TV channel aired portions of it, parts of it. People found out, and the protests began. Until now, up to that point, it was a lost cause. It was a lost cause. He had wasted time, he had wasted effort in putting this pathetic film together, and barely anyone had heard about it. Almost no one knew about this film. He even tried showing it. He tried showing it in an old theater in LA. You know, one of those rundown theaters in a bad area of town. He tried to show it in one of those, and only about 10 people showed up to watch the film. They tried to name it Innocence of Muslims so that Muslims could be tricked into thinking that it's a positive title, it's a positive, you know, name, and Muslims will come watch it. And some reports say that he actually tried printing flyers and distributing them at masajid to Muslims so that Muslims would see, oh, Innocence of Muslims, it seems like a positive film, Muslims will come watch it. Nobody came. Nobody came. Only about 10 people showed up. So in every way, this film was a failure. In every way, this film was a failure, and barely anyone knew about it. Barely anyone was watching it, and Muslims had it being provoked. Until now. Until now. When our brothers got upset, and some ended up causing violence, what do we see? Now it becomes a top headline. Now it becomes a top headline, so many more people know about it. Many more people know about it now. So until people hadn't really started talking about it, nobody knew about it. But the moment people started, you know, venting their anger, their frustration, causing violence, all of a sudden it escalated and became an international news story. And right now, what is happening, Muslims are appearing to be uncivilized, ignorant. The name of Islam, unfortunately, as has happened before, gets dragged through the mud. And now the real purpose of the film has been achieved. Now the real purpose of the film has been achieved. This is exactly what he wanted. This is exactly what he was hoping for. That he could spend some money and he could make the Muslims look bad. He could make the Muslims look bad. Everyone would talk about Islam in a negative way, and this is what he was aiming for, and this is exactly what he got. And now he must be happy. So my dear brothers and sisters, it must be very clear to us. It must be very clear to us that when something like this comes around, when you hear about something like this, initially, you get a forward in your inbox, somebody forwards an email to you and says that, oh, such and such person has written this book, or there's this website that's saying this and that, or there's this video about, you know, and you get this email about some obscure book or some article or movie, hit the trash button, hit the delete button. Don't spread the word, don't forward it to other people. Because what happens when you forward it, you get provoked, it becomes more popular. You end up serving the goals of those who have put this together. So that the writer or the producer now starts getting money. The hits on their website goes up. The views on YouTube become higher and higher. And if there's revenue sharing ads, you know, programs that he signed up for, people are clicking on ads, they're viewing ads, and he's getting money for that. And the more people click on it, the more popular it gets, the higher it gets in the search engine rankings when people search for it. So all of these actions, these small things, just curiosity even on our part, increases it, makes it more popular. So the best thing to do, the best thing to do is when you come across something like this, disregard it. Disregard it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that one of the qualities of the believers are وَالَّذِينَ هُمَ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who keep themselves away from vain things. vain things, vain talk, falsehood, things which are useless, which are false, which have no benefit. So stay away, and that's the best approach. Disregard it. But note that I said disregard, I didn't say ignore. So disregard it, meaning don't pay too much heed to it. Don't get all hyped up about it. But at the same time, don't ignore what's happening either. Don't ignore what's happening either. You disregard it, but you don't ignore it. There's a difference between the two. Disregard means that you know what is happening. Right? Disregard means that you know what is happening, but you don't pay too much attention to it, you let it go. You're well aware of what's happening, but you let it go. Ignore could mean that you let it go and you don't care about it at all. So that's not what we need. We need to disregard it, but don't ignore it. Don't ignore what's happening. When our faith is attacked, when the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is attacked, and the haters, those who possess hate, the enemies of Islam and the Muslims, are spreading hate propaganda. The enemies of Islam and Muslims are spreading hate propaganda and causing trouble. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our faith and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the prophets, we love all of these. These are important parts of our faith, and they hold a special place in our hearts. And we keep them, we regard them with the highest regard. No matter what anyone says, whether people like it or not. The essentials, the building blocks, right, the symbols of Islam, we love all of them. And we respect them dearly, and we keep them in high regard, whether people like it or not. So out of love and concern for these, and with the intention to correct the misinformation, the mischaracterization, to set the record straight, to counter the hateful propaganda, there needs to be a desire to do something. Now, if you're listening to this right now, or either online, listen for the next 10 minutes. Because if you're not going to listen for the next 10 minutes, then don't listen right now. Okay? Make sure you have 10 minutes to listen, and you listen to everything I have to say. Not so that you take the first part of what I said and you say, oh, that's what Imam was saying at the mosque. Okay, you listen to the whole thing. So the next 5-10 minutes, listen to the whole thing. Okay, especially for those who will be listening to this online, a number of people do. Listen to the whole part. Don't take me out of context. So when all of these things are happening, when our faith is being attacked, the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being attacked, the haters, the enemies of Islam and Muslims are spreading propaganda and causing trouble, out of love and concern for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for all the prophets, for the Qur'an, and to correct the misinformation, to correct the mischaracterization, to set the record straight, to counter the hateful propaganda, we need to respond appropriately. We need to respond with action that is appropriate. And this is a very, very important part. And that's why I said, listen to the whole thing that I have to say. That the response has to be appropriate. It's important. It's crucial that the response that we give is appropriate. The risk is that if we don't respond, if we don't feel anything, the risk is that we become desensitized. We become desensitized. We become complacent. That these actions of hate start harming our communities, directly or indirectly. They start causing problems for us. And we don't take appropriate action. Right? And our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Qur'an, for all the prophets, it starts wavering, it starts going away. Right? That is the risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility to protect His deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility to protect the Qur'an, to protect His prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. So He'll do it regardless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. Allah will keep all of these protected, inshaAllah. But we need to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the love we say that we have for Islam, for Allah, for Qur'an, for the deen, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it actually means something for us. It's not just lip service that we say that yes, we love all of these, but then that's it. When something happens, we're zero. Okay, so we need to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have that love and that means something. So what is an appropriate response then? This is the question. What is an appropriate response? An appropriate response is that which conforms to the teachings and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An appropriate response is that which conforms to the teachings, which is according to the teachings and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and which is according to the teachings of the Quran. Okay? So there's certain guidelines, there's certain qualities, characteristics that this response should have. If our response is devoid of these, then we should not be responding in that way. Okay, so this is very, very important. The first quality, the first characteristic of our response is that it must be just. It must be fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ, that all you who believe, be steadfast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be witnesses to justice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَن لَا تَعْدِلُوا, malice or hatred against the people, or enmity or dislike of a people, should not prompt you to avoid doing justice. So just because you have a beef with someone, just because you're upset at someone, just because you're angry at someone, should not lead you to become unjust. This is very, very, very important. A believer is to be fair and just in times of happiness, in times of sadness, in times of anger. No matter what the emotional state, a believer must always be fair and be just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْدِلُوا, do justice, هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, do justice that is nearer to taqwa, that is nearer to the state that you should have, which is consciousness and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear Allah, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely Allah is all aware of what you do. So if you are going to act in a manner which is unjust, if you are going to act in a way which is impermissible, incorrect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of what you do. And if you go against the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply because you feel you are angry, but simply because you have been hurt, that is not an excuse, that is not a valid excuse. So the first condition of this response is that it must be just and it must be fair. Secondly, it must be permissible. It must be permissible. Right? The means do not justify the end. So just because, or the ends do not justify the means. I always get confused with this. Right? So just because you feel that your religion, your faith, your community is being attacked, it does not mean that you can act in a reckless manner. It does not mean that you can act in an impermissible manner. You must still act in a manner which is permissible, which is halal. So killing innocent people, having innocent people killed, is unjust. It's unjust. We all know that. We should know that. It's impermissible. Destroying the properties of others, which do not belong to us, is also wrong. It's incorrect. Causing havoc, causing trouble for people who have not taken part in any way in what has happened, is incorrect and is unjust and is impermissible. So that's the second condition. So we must be fair and just, and it also, the response must also be permissible. It must also be legal. Now a lot of times we eat up this part, but we swallow this one down and we sort of disregard it. It must also be legal, because we have a responsibility to follow the laws of the land we are in. This is an agreement we have, especially for us who are living in these countries. This is the agreement we have in the return for the right to live here and enjoy the benefits of living here and to live in relative peace and security. We have an agreement, whether it's explicit or implicit, that we are going to follow the laws, we are going to respect the authorities, we are going to live as peaceful and as law-abiding citizens. So that is also an important condition. So our response must be just and fair, it must be halal, it must be permissible, and it also must be legal. Fourthly, our response must also be wise as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about inviting others, or he commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this applies to us as well. And ultimately, that is one of the higher objectives, that we invite others towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We invite others towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَةِ, that invite people to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good counsel. Invite them with wisdom and good counsel. Right? Don't put a gun to their heads. Don't force them. Right? Invite them with wisdom and with good counsel. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ, if you're going to debate, if you're going to argue, argue with them in the best of manners. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the guidance He gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our response again should be just and fair. It must be permissible Islamically. It must be legal. It must be wise as well. It must be wise. He wants to be with hikmah. It must also be one that takes the higher road. It must be one that takes the higher road. So just because someone does something to us, or to our community, or attacks Islam in a certain way, it doesn't mean we do exactly the same thing to them as well. We take the higher road. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ. That repel evil with that which is better. Right? Don't respond to fire with fire. If you respond to fire with fire, it just causes more fire. Right? Responding to fire with fire causes more fire. So take the higher road. Repel evil with that which is better. Something which is better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are best acquainted with the things they utter. So the things that they are saying, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of that. Allah is well aware of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is happening. So take the higher road and repel evil with something which is better. And finally, our response should not be one which demeans the beliefs of others. Our response should not be one that demeans, that puts down the beliefs of others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He gives us a very important principle. وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And insult not those whom they, meaning the people who do not believe, do not insult those that they worship besides Allah. So even if they're doing shirk, even if they're committing shirk, do not insult, do not abuse those whom they worship besides Allah. Why? Lest they insult Allah wrongfully without knowledge. Because if you do that to them, and they don't have those higher morals, they don't have these teachings which take you which tell us to take the higher road, they will respond in kind. So you will say something bad about their beliefs, and they will say the same about yours. You will attack the things that they hold dear verbally, they will do the same to you as well. So do not attack. So even if they are worshipping others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not insult them. Do not insult those that they're worshipping. So the principle that we get is, take the higher road, do not insult the beliefs, do not demean the beliefs of others, because they will be inclined to do the same to you. So once again, the response has to be just. The response has to be permissible. The response has to be legal. The response has to be wise. It has to be one that takes the higher road. It has to be better. And it has to be one that does not demean or insult the beliefs of others. So then what are some of the ways that we can respond? What are some of the ways that we can respond? So these are just some ideas. You can think about these principles yourself. You can discuss it with your family and friends. And also spread this as well. Right? If you have relatives, whether they're here or back home, have this discussion. Have this discussion, because this is very important. So what are some of the ways that we can respond? So the first thing we need to do is to start with ourselves. The first thing we need to do is we start with ourselves. So we need to learn more about the Prophet ﷺ. We need to learn more about the Prophet ﷺ and increase our adherence to the Sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. So that we become true reflections of his character. So that we truly become his followers. Right? Many times we get very excited about these things. We get very hyped up. And we get angry. But when it comes to our own state and our own level of adherence to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, it is very lacking. So first we start with trying to improve ourselves, and we share it with others. And it's so easy now, especially with social media. Right? If you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, and you have friends who are not who are of other faiths, then you take little tidbits, and people have been doing this, where they take little pieces of the seerah and of the characters of the Prophet ﷺ and the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ, and they share it with others. Right? They'll tweet it, they'll share it, and other people will share it as well. And people who are following you, who are on your friends list, especially if they're of other faiths, they can learn from this, inshallah. So you learn the seerah, you act upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you share it with others and you educate others about it. That goes hand in hand with increasing outreach and increasing da'wah. Right? We take this as an opportunity. There will be so many people today who may have not heard of the Prophet ﷺ, who may not have thought about the Prophet ﷺ. But all of a sudden, he is on their radar screen. Now they're thinking about him. It's something that they're noticing, they're hearing about. They want to know more. They want to do research. Right? Similarly, after 9/11, what happened? The Qur'an became one of the bestsellers. The Qur'an became one of the bestsellers because people wanted to explore Islam. They wanted to know more about Islam. So we started buying the Qur'an and reading the Qur'an. So we take this as an opportunity to increase our efforts of outreach and of da'wah. So we build contacts with people. Right? Hear their concerns respectfully. Many times people will come and they'll share their concerns. And sometimes people are not shy. They'll tell you, this is what I'm feeling. I don't understand this. I don't understand why everyone is getting so excited about this. Why Muslims are so worried about this. They don't understand. So you listen to their concerns respectfully. Allow them the opportunity to hear an alternative view. So then you give them you hear them out first. You give them the chance to air their feelings. And then you respectfully give them an alternative view. And you expose them to the true Islamic teachings. You expose them to the true Islamic teachings to tell them that this is the reality. This is why the Prophet ﷺ was the most influential person in history. This is why the Prophet ﷺ is said to have the best character. This is why he had such a profound effect in just 23 years of preaching. Right? So you communicate this to others. And we invite them to learn about Islam. Invite them to learn about Islam. So Islamic History Month is coming up in October. Inshallah, we'll be having a series of events. So we take these opportunities, including an open house here at the masjid. So we take these opportunities to invite people to come and meet with us, interact with us, and we try to educate them about the true teachings of Islam. Another way that we can help in responding positively is by writing letters and articles to the media. Writing letters to the editor. Right? Writing articles, calling in, but with sound, rational, coherent arguments. With sound, rational, coherent arguments that the audience can understand. That the audience can understand. One of the very important things about responding or communicating effectively is to understand your audience. You have to understand your audience before you try to communicate something to them. And if you don't understand your audience, then what you are saying may be misinterpreted, it may be misunderstood, it may just go over their heads. Right? So we have to understand, and this is also an effort we all need to make, is to understand the culture. Understand why people hold some things very dearly. Right? So just like some of our fellow citizens here may not understand why we hold the Prophet ﷺ in such high regard. And similarly, many Muslims perhaps, may not understand the concept of freedom of expression. May not understand the concept of freedom of expression. What does it mean? Why do people feel so strongly about it here? So these are things that we should research. Read the history, understand why do people hold these values so dearly here, and perhaps they don't in our countries and in other places, in different cultures. So we go through this process of understanding, and once we understand, then we will be in a better position to make rational and coherent arguments and have that debate and that discussion. We also need to appreciate others. Appreciate those who are defending our rights. So you will have journalists, you will have people, whether they're in the media or politicians or other activists, human rights organizations and so on, who will be defending our rights and who do stand up for the rights of Muslims. So they need to be appreciated. Right? I've mentioned this before, where sometimes the last incident that happened, and I forget which one it was, where somebody had written that, sometimes it feels like we are the only ones, and this person was not a Muslim, so that sometimes it feels like we're the only ones who are standing up. I'm the only one who's standing up for the Muslims. The Muslims are nowhere to be seen, and no one's appreciating or giving any feedback. Right? So appreciate those who are making an effort and who are speaking out against this hate. And we also need to build alliances with such individuals and groups. Right? Because we have common concerns. Right? Hate is something which can affect everyone. Right? It's not only Muslims who are the victims of hate crimes. Right? There are other groups, other minorities, other religious minorities, racial minorities, who are also the target of hate. So build these alliances and build these networks so that we can come together for this common cause. Also, using legal and permissible means to marginalize those who are promoting hate. Use all the legal means that are available, meaning means which are permissible, which are not illegal. Use them, use those avenues to marginalize those who are promoting hate. So whether it's through boycotts, and that's debatable, whether it's through a complaint process or by exposing them, all of these different things can be used, these different tools can be weighed and can be studied to see if they are effective tools in responding. What we need to do on our side is to educate people. Educate our brothers and sisters, spread the word, and help people understand the criteria for their response, so that the response that we give is effective, so that we're not wasting our energy and our time, so that we're not giving people the opportunity to create even more problems for Islam and for Muslims. And I was reading an email this morning about a discussion that was happening on an email list in Toronto. And one of the ideas that the brothers had was to hold a protest. They said, protests are being held, and there's nothing wrong with holding peaceful protests, of course. Protests are being held in different parts of the world, so why are we here in Toronto, in Canada, why are we not holding any protests? So this is the discussion that they were having. My thoughts are that whatever energy we're going to spend, it has to be done in a positive manner. It has to be done in an effective and positive manner. So if you're simply going to have a rally where everyone is angry and is carrying negative signs and placards and shouting and screaming, that doesn't really help us achieve anything. Yes, it allows us to vent our anger and burn energy, but it doesn't allow us to achieve anything. It's not positive. It's not a positive response. A better response, if people do want to hold a rally or something, would be to educate people about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So hold a positive rally, a positive gathering, where the placards aren't negative. They don't put people down. They don't talk about the negatives, but rather they highlight the qualities and attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where they educate people, so that if it comes in the media, and there's video taken, and there's pictures taken, the signs, they show something positive, so that those who look at the pictures are actually able to learn something about Islam. They learn something about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So always let's try to think positively and constructively, and think how can we use our energy and our time in the most efficient and most effective manner, so that we don't waste our time, we don't waste our energy, and whatever efforts we put in are done in a way that it is the most beneficial of the options that are available. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from those who are trying to cause fitna and those who are trying to cause troubles for the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna of the haters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strength in our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us with wisdom towards that which is best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for his deen and for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to respond and react to these things in the most positive and the best manner as taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.